Vic Carucci with you from Liberty Ford in Vermilion, continuing our tour of Liberty Ford dealerships, our Northeast Ohio tour. We're hitting all five of them. Yeah, I hit Maple Heights yesterday, Vermilion today, going to be out at Brunswick tomorrow. That'll be the fifth and final of our tour that began last week of the Liberty Ford dealerships. And this is 4215. You can come out to us on Liberty Avenue, 4215 East Liberty Avenue in Vermilion. And stop by. There's giveaways. We're raffling off a football. You could just enter for it. You just send in. It's an autographed football. And we got other little tchotchkes and other giveaways here. We're going to have some free food coming your way in a little bit from Arby's. So you want to come out for that. I'm here till 3 p.m. My partner, my friend Nathan, Notorious VIC here, and he is, of course, the Grandmaster Z there. We'll see. I'm teasing that nickname because we're going to see what we settle on by the end of the day. We're going to have a nickname for Nathan, and a good one. And he's in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Megan Rock is there as well. She's tweeting about the show. And then we'll also have her wrap, the Browns Daily Wrap, that'll be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com. All right, we are trying to get connected here with Brian Billick. I promised him from Fox Sports, and hopefully that will be happening soon. We're working on that. In the meantime, again, we heard from head coach Rob Chudzinski today during his news conference, and one of the things he was asked about that I thought, you know, it was just an interesting to get a response from is, has he talked with the team, because in light of the fact that you're not looking at a team that's in the postseason, has he discussed with the players about being a spoiler through these final three games?
You know, we really haven't talked about it as that type of role. We've more focused on what we need to do in our approach for the game, being consistent in that approach for the game. So, you know, I haven't talked about with our team, underdog or spoiler or any of those kind of things. We're approaching and playing the December. It's important for us to play this December. These are important games for us, and that's been our approach all along. And, you know, I want to see us continue to make progress. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, I feel like we're on the right track. And, so these games are important for that.
You know, I'm not even sure, Nathan, that he necessarily has to say to his players, guys, let's be spoilers now. Let's ruin the party for somebody else. I think the concept of December football is probably as important, if not more important, than anything else right now, is because that's the thing year after year you want to be doing with an eye toward December being your run to the postseason.
Absolutely, and you want to have some comfort that you can win in December when next year, hopefully the games that are played in December are more meaningful for your own playoff, you know, your own playoff potential and playoff ramifications as then they are this year, where you're worried about somebody else's and being the spoiler to that. And in order to be the spoiler, really, it starts this week. I think Chicago right now is positioned to have a shot at their division as it, you know, Detroit keeps faltering a little bit. Green Bay looks like won't have Aaron Rodgers again. So this is one where you have the opportunity to do that. And you know, the thing about it is you're going to have to stop Matt Forte running the football, but you're also going to have to stop Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, the two wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey enters this game with 75 catches for 1,193 yards and six touchdowns. He is fifth in the NFL in receiving yards. Brandon Marshall, he's got 84 catches, 1,090 yards, and nine touchdowns. So this is a duo right now that's already combined in 13 games for more than 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns as receivers. You know, Joe Hayden is very good. Buster Skrine has played better this year, but Rob Chudzinski was asked if he thinks Buster Skrine is up to the task of guarding either Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffrey.
I think it'll be a good challenge for Buster, for Joe, for all of our guys. And, you know, you look at them position by position, and they're a tough team to match up with in that way. And, you know, I mentioned a number of those guys that give you the issues and the size of those guys. Even when you have good coverage on them still being able to make plays in those type of situations. So it will be. It'll be a good challenge for those guys as well as the other guys who are going to be covering Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte and the rest of their offense.
They got some receivers. They got a crew there. They got some depth there. And they are going to – I think when I think about the Browns – secondary and its challenge, and I touched upon this a little bit with Joe Hayden talking with him yesterday about it, as much as there still were the wounds that were felt from New England from losing that game in those final couple of minutes and how much that stung and hurt it wasn't long before these guys got back in the building, even yesterday, and now we hear more of it today, Nathan, that the focus is on the challenge, the enormous challenge of dealing with a deep receiving core. And you said it, Josh McCown is putting up some really good numbers because he's good in that system, but he has about as great a crew of receivers that a quarterback can have at his disposal.
Statistically speaking, they are the best in the National Football League right now as a duo. Now, this is an interesting the way that this is going down here. We talked about how great McCown's been. Like I said, at least 348 yards passing in three straight games, two touchdowns in all of them. On the season, 13 passing touchdowns, only one interception. And yet, Zach Zaidman, who is the Chicago Bears Radio Network sideline reporter and the host of Bears All Access out in Chicago, has tweeted the following: if Jay Cutler is medically cleared today, he will be named the Bears' starting quarterback tomorrow, per Mark Trestman. And Trestman says he is optimistic that Cutler will, in fact, be the Bears' starting quarterback in Cleveland, but depends on his response to the workout. That, to me, is shocking. It's a little bit surprising. I don't know if it makes a lot of sense from the standpoint of the Chicago Bears, and they could be potentially make a very interesting decision. And right now, me, even though I would say Jay Cutler is clearly the more talented quarterback of the two based on his physical tools, his gifts, etc., I would rather face Jay Cutler as the Cleveland Browns right now than the red hot Josh McCown.
I'm with you. I think it would be a mistake for that team it's not because they're, I don't care what they do. I hope they do the wrong thing, whatever it is, because they're playing the Browns. But as I look at it, McCown's the guy. And I think history shows you, especially with quarterbacks, you should stick with who's doing the job for you and doing it well. You owe that to your team, especially when you're in contention. Can you see if you make that quarterback change and you lose the game? And you're Mark Trestman in your first year and you're trying to remember, every game, every week, every practice is a chance for him to enhance or hurt his credibility with his players. And first-year head coaches go through that. There's a trust thing that has to be built and developed. And it's a harder thing to do if you make a choice like that, the wrong choice, when it comes to a quarterback especially. 216-578-0850 is the number to join us. And Teddy in Springfield has done that. Teddy, how you doing? Teddy, you're with us?
What's up, Teddy?
Hi, Notorious Heller. How are you and Zegatron doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Listen, I had a question and a quick point for you guys.
All right.
Say whichever way the Browns go in the draft, whether it be quarterback or wide receiver, however they do it, in the second or third round, would you take a running back like Carlos Hyde, for example, and have him be our guy? And my quick point is, I am so glad that we did not trade Josh Gordon, because you look at what he's doing with how our situation is. Just wait until we find somebody like Odell Beckham or Mike Evans to be a legit number two beside him. Just wait and see what he'll do then. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Go Browns.
Teddy, thank you. Really good call. I'm not as inclined to think about a running back that high, second-round pick. And with all due respect to Hyde, I mean, I know he's a talented player. I don't think it'll be the thinking of Joe Banner and the Michael Lombardi and the whole personnel sort of philosophy that this team has to go that high for a running back. And I also think that if, in fact, your other point about getting a true complimentary receiver for Josh Gordon, I think that's maybe where you're going to make that investment possibly high for the wide receiver position versus running back.
It will be interesting to see the direction they go, though, because there are some receivers coming on into free agency next year, and that could be a place that maybe you want to allocate some of your funds. Eric Decker is one of the names, the guy who will be a free agent, who I think would be a perfect number two opposite Josh Gordon, especially because he's such a great red zone receiver. And amazingly, we talked about yesterday, Josh Gordon, of all his touchdowns, only one has come inside the 20-yard line in his career. The guy is an incredible playmaker. But it'll be, and that's what we talked about, and that's what I am so excited about for this offseason? Because there is no question, there's no doubt in my mind that there will be a significant number of legitimate assets added to this football team in the offseason. In addition to the 7 picks that you have, you know, in the first 4 rounds of the draft, you also are going to have money in free agency to be able to spend. And the way that they decide to allocate, at which position do they decide to attack via free agency, which do they decide to attack via the draft, etc., is going to be a very fascinating study to watch. I don't think there's any question another running back will be brought in here to complement the returning Deion Lewis, because I think Deion Lewis is going to play a big role as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He would have this season if he were not injured early in the year in the preseason with the broken leg. So I think there will be an addition of a running back. I think that if you look around the NFL, though, right now, doing it in the draft is probably the way to go, and there is no reason when you see the success of guys like Alfred Morris and others to draft one of those guys so early. Obviously, you wish you had Bobby Rainey back right now, fresh off of another 100-yard rushing game in Tampa, but I think you can find a guy to complement Lewis as your primary ball carrier without ever having to make a significant investment in free agency or an early investment in the draft.
Yeah, this team's pretty good at finding. Deion Lewis would have been that fine, I'm sure, this year, at finding those guys in a modest trade like that one was to get him from Philadelphia, or a modest free agent signing. I don't think you need to do anything that represents breaking the bank to get a quality running back on your football team. That is the way of the National Football League in 2013-2014. Let's go to Michael in Mayfield right now. Hello, Michael.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, brother.
Question for you. I don't know what, you know, I know NFL has this thing with the concussion stuff and all that, you know, how they're protecting these players for concussions, but and you know, I feel kind of horrible that Gronkowski got the season ending ACL injury, but who's to say that they can't outfit all these players with like knee braces so they don't have these issues? Is it something that the NFL will adopt, or is that a team initiative and all that?
Uncle Jerry wants that.
Yeah, you know, the knee brace thing, and that's an interesting subject. It's a great topic you brought up. And through the years, I've addressed this with any number of players and league people. The issue with the knee braces are the cumbersome factor for players. Now, you talk about Rob Gronkowski as a receiver, okay? He is going to, you know, he's a guy that is going to want to have that freedom, that ability to run and move as fast as he can, and having bulky braces on can be a problem with that. Now, you notice Tom Brady wears a brace ever since he had the knee injury that ended his season several years back. He missed all but a poor, I mean, I think, what, 15-plus games, almost the whole year, because it happened in game number one. And yep. And I saw him at field level on Sunday, and just watching him come out with that big, bulky brace for him. But remember, as a quarterback, his movement, his ability to buy time, I mean, he's able to do that. He is not going to be a fast guy. He never was. And it's okay with him. But asking other players, and I'm not even 100% sure how much, I mean, I would think you would probably sustain less damage if you're wearing that, and in the case of how Rob Gronkowski was hit, if you duplicate or replicate that hit with him wearing a brace on that knee as a precaution. But I think more players than not are going to tell you no way, especially guys who are speed guys. You look at Josh Gordon, you really think he's going to worry about that? No, he wants the optimum ability to fly.
Yeah, and it's about speed, and speed kills in this league. And these guys, they don't want to even wear teeny little pads that they would consider to be too cumbersome on their hips, etc., and their thigh pads. They want to get rid of everything for speed and for comfort. And so, yes, the idea of them wearing bulky knee braces, I think, as a mandatory thing, would be very, very difficult to see that come to fruition.
No doubt. All right, we've got more people to get to, and we will get to you at 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and I am coming to you from Liberty Ford, the dealership in Vermilion. Come on out and see us here. We got free food. We got Arby's, lots and lots of Arby's available, well, at least while the supply lasts. If you want to come out and grab something to eat, make sure you're doing that. We are at 4215 Liberty Avenue in Vermilion. I'm going to be here till the end of the show, which is 3 p.m. My partner, the master, the Grandmaster Z, Nathan Zagura, he is in the Dog Bowl in Berea. So we got you covered always through Wednesday. Stick around for more.